Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
More than 2,000 young men from Saudi Arabia have joined the self-proclaimed Islamic State, also known as ISIS. That's according to Saudi officials, but the number could be even higher. It's a cause for significant concern among Saudis, who are also doubtful that coalition airstrikes against ISIS are effective. Saudi Arabia shares a long border with Iraq, and the Saudi Special Operations Forces under the Ministry of Interior have begun large-scale exercises to work on protecting that border. Earlier today, NPR's Deborah Amos visited the Saudi Special Operations Center in Riyadh and joins us to talk more about it. Deb, welcome.
Thank you.
So first of all, as we mentioned, more than 2,000 Saudis have taken up arms with ISIS. Tell us more about the specific concerns that come from that.
Well, the concern, of course, is that some of them will come back for attacks in the kingdom. Now, the Saudis say about 600 have asked to come back. And they go through a de-radicalization program here. The Saudis seem to be able to separate these soft members who don't actually like it. They can be rehabilitated, and hardcore ideologues who cannot. When they're arrested, they go to jail. The threat is the Saudis are part of the air campaign against ISIS, and that could bring retaliation. The number of attacks in the kingdom has grown to about one a month. We had two Americans attacked at a gas station. There was a Dane who was attacked. There were shootings of Saudi Shiites in the country's eastern province. There was a cross-border attack earlier this year. The commander of the border forces himself was killed, along with seven policemen. So there is reason for them to be nervous.
So you've also visited the Special Forces Training Center in Riyadh today. Can you tell us what they're doing there?
Yes, I did go today, and what we saw was some remarkable high-tech training. You know, these forces are to protect anything domestic, including the borders. It's an elite force. They're trained for air hijacks, bus hijacks, to rescue hostages, and all of it comes from real-life scenarios. I have never seen such a high-tech facility. They had a mock-up of a 747 airliner with these pop-up targets. I stood on a shooting range where you stand in the middle, it's a circle, and around you, there are these pop-ups, friend and foe, and you have to really decide very quickly whether to shoot the guy with a gun or the guy with the camera. That was a little jarring for me, because what they're saying is those are the journalists. Don't shoot them. Shoot the bad guys. What we saw this week is this 26-day exercise. It's all under the new Minister of Interior. This is his show. It's Mohammed bin Nayef, and he is now the most powerful prince of his generation. For the first time, all of these services, there's seven of them, are under his domain. You know, in the past, what would happen is different princes would get different of these services, and that sort of spread power across the kingdom. But because of these threats, all of it is now under Mohammed bin Nayef, the Minister of Interior.
Now, Deb, you mentioned the Saudi prince that's in charge of these exercises and the Ministry of Interior. I mean, that leads us to, of course, be reminded that there's a new king in Saudi Arabia, and former King Abdullah, of course, died about a month ago, and his half-brother ascended to the throne. So I'm wondering how that has changed expectations in the kingdom at all about Saudi Arabia's ability to handle the ISIS threat.
You know, every Saudi I've talked to asks if I know what's going to happen in the country, if it's going to change under this new king. The former king, Abdullah, was seen as a liberal. He ran the kingdom and had reforms. King Salman, the new king, he's considered to be more conservative. Already, the new king is sending out signals that in terms of foreign policy and security, that everything will stay the same. Internally, people are asking, are we going to go what some consider backwards? And the evidence so far is all anecdotal. The new king appointed a very hardline conservative to head Saudi's religious police. These are the people that enforce the dress codes on women and make sure that there's no gender mixing. These parts of life had become a little bit more relaxed under King Abdullah. And in January, the religious police stormed into a shopping center here and took off the racks any abaya, this long cloak that all the women wear. Anything that wasn't black, they said, you can't sell this. It hasn't happened again, but people are nervous about it. Also this week, we had an announcement that all girls in public schools are now going to have physical education courses. That's a huge change. All the boys do. It happens in private schools, but it has never happened across the kingdom that girls in public school would get this. So this is also different. You can look and see that maybe this is on the liberal side. The other thing, when the new king came into his job, there's always a ceremony. It's shown on television, and it's people pledging their loyalty. It's everybody in the cabinet. It's princes. But the Shura Council, which is a citizens group appointed by the king that makes recommendations for policies in the kingdom, there are 30 women. They were put on the Shura Council last year. They were shown on television giving their loyalty to the new king. That was a sign on the liberal side. So people are, you know, reading the tea leaves, trying to figure out where this new king is going. But it's really early days.
I'm so glad that you mentioned all these things, Deb, because nations are always so much more than just the latest headlines on terrorism that grab our attention. And you've been in Saudi Arabia for about a week now. I mean, specifically, what else have you been seeing during your time there?
You know, what really strikes me, and it always does when I come, and you can't help it as a female correspondent, is changes for women. You get very sensitive to it. You know, you're watching what people wear and what they do, and all of a sudden you start seeing women in the shopping centers who are salespeople. And, you know, they have face veils on, and they've all learned to talk with their eyes. I knew exactly what this woman was talking about. Just I could only see her eyes. The second thing is there's a real push here to get women into the job market. Female unemployment is 5 times higher than men. The government is backing all these different centers that I've been to this week. I'll tell you something else. I took a spinning class here in a Saudi gym with a Saudi personal trainer. I was not being personally trained. There were many people in the spinning class, but I went to do a story about a gym that opened because the idea is that sports, exercise, and employment all goes together in the same way that we see it. Many of us do go to gyms, and they're beginning to do that here in Saudi Arabia, certainly in the capital.
NPR's Deborah Amos speaking with us from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Deb, thank you so much.
Thank you.